Bella pointed this out before we started, so she gets credit for the first comment today. Way back at the beginning of Mishle, which we started more than 2 months ago, I think, we pointed out one of these comments that's not so significant when you're at the beginning, but then as Mishle continues on, it becomes a more relevant comment. We're trying to figure out as part of our study what exactly the concept of Mishle is, what its structure is, what Shlomo HaMelech is trying to achieve, and also how Mishle was put together. Did Shlomo HaMelech compose these himself? Are they recordings from the chief of staff in the palace writing down the wise sayings of the king during his reign? How exactly did Sefer Mishle come to be in the form that we have it? So one of the keys to understanding that is explicit in the text itself, which is everyone's noting another volume of Mishle. So Bella pointed out in her edition of Mishle, it tells us that this is the third section of the Sefer, and this is the reason for that. When you open Perek Chaf Hei, you will notice the Perek begins as follows. I'm sharing it with you on the screen. Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Aleph. Gam Eile Mishle Shlomo Asher Hetiku Anshe Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. These, meaning the following, are also proverbs of Shlomo HaMelech that were copied or recorded or canonized, published by Anshe Chizkiya Melech Yehuda, by the staff of Chizkiyahu HaMelech in later generations. So what we know is that these are the Mishalim, these are the proverbs of Shlomo, but we also know that they weren't recorded until later time, or they weren't combined until later. So in that sense, they represent a different generation or a different publication, but more of Shlomo HaMelech. And that's the reason, as Bella pointed out before, that this is part number three, because we saw that already once, a dozen prakim ago, there seems to be like a break between, let's say, part one and part two. So now we're entering the third and final volume in this trilogy of Proverbs from Shlomo HaMelech. So here we go. Kvod Elohim Haster Davar. Uchvod Melachim Chakor Davar. It's the glory of Hashem to conceal things. Part of the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, honor is a very broad term. Part of the kavod of God is the mystery. That's what I would say Haster Davar means. Certain elements of godliness are just beyond us. We don't understand how Hashem operates. We don't see everything that Hashem does. Part of the kavod is the mystery. Kivod Elohim Haster Davar. Uchvod Melachim Chakor Davar. And the glory of the king is at the depths of a matter, meaning something that's very deep and sophisticated. Shamayim Larum Va'aretz La'omek V'Lev Melachim In Cheker. Such a beautiful, beautiful pasuk. Shamayim Larum Va'aretz La'omek, like heavens in the heights and like the depths of the earth, are the hearts of kings, ein cheker, unfathomable. So we just saw in Pasuk Aleph that kvod melachim chakor davar, the honor of the melech is to plumb a matter. In other words, the one way to understand this is that the king is a very intelligent person. Remember, this is Shlomo HaMelech. So he's sophisticated. There's a lot of depth to everything that the king says, even though maybe in the headlines you don't appreciate what's going on in the palace. There's a lot beneath the surface that needs to be appreciated in order to understand who the king really is. And then you see the balance here. Shamayim larum va'aretz la'omek v'leib malachim in cheker. You see shamayim larum is like kivod Elohim, and aretz la'omek is like kivod malachim. V'leib malachim in cheker is going back to kivod malachim chakor davar. So you see the structure, pasuk beis and pasuk gimel working together. There is a relationship here between kavod of Hashem and the kavod that the melech deserves. There's something uniquely impressive about both of them. Hago sigim mikasef, v'yetze letzorif keli. The dross having been separated from the silver, and a vessel emerges from the smith. So it says something about the creation of silver vessels. Hago Rasha Livnei Melech, remove the wicked from before the king, V'yikon b'tzedek kiso, and his throne will be established in justice. So in the same way that the silversmith has a responsibility, here you see Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey working off of each other, the silversmith has a responsibility to remove the impurities so that the vessels that he's making can take their shape. So then you also have to remove the Rasha from before the king so that he can have peaceful reign. Maybe it means in the palace. Maybe it means criminals off the street, something like that. Al tidhar lifnei melech. Don't exalt yourself before the king. Ubimakom gidolim al ta'amod. And don't stand in the place of the nobles. Ki tov amar lecha. Because it's better to be told, alei hina, step up over here. Mehashpilcha lifnei nadiv, that to be degraded in the presence of the great, asher ra'u'enecha, do not let what your eyes have seen. So something interesting is happening here, and this is what we're going to focus on today, Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin. So obviously the introduction to this parak is telling us about seemingly two separate but parallel tracks. One is Kavod of Hashem, and the second is Kavod of the Melech. And what they have in common is that the average citizen doesn't really understand what's happening. Now, obviously, it's on different levels. Even the king doesn't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. But in the same way that we as civilians have a hard time appreciating the responsibility and the power and the information that the king possesses that the average civilian does not, so too, even the kings, all of humanity, fail to appreciate the magnitude and the information and the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with. So both of those are happening at the same time. These structures are parallel to one another, even if they're at different tracks. Kavod Elokim, Kavod Melachim, Shamayim Larum, Ba'aretz La'omek, etc. And the kings have difficult decisions to make. The like a silversmith who needs to work hard in order to shape his product. So the melech here has to work very hard in order to secure his throne. And then there is a consequence to this appreciation of leadership. If you understand the magnitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, if you understand the power and the separation between the average civilian and the king, so then you'll realize that you don't want to be there, you don't belong there. Don't try and exalt yourself before the king. Ubimakom gedolim al ta'amo, don't stand in the place of nobles. Ki tov amar lecha aleihina me'ashpilcha lefnei nadiv asher ra'u'enecha. Better for you to stay in your spot than to be somewhere you aren't and look like a lowly person. If you don't belong in the palace, don't be in the palace. Because after all, the people who are there are at a totally another level. So the Malbim on these psukim makes a very interesting connection that I wanted to just reflect on with you today. Here it is on the right side. This is the Malbim's comment on Pasuk Vav. Al tireh, this is on the Al tidhar lifnei melech. Al tireh shum hidur lifnei melech. Now it's funny because when I first read this, I said, why not? Isn't the whole purpose of hidur mitzvah that we go before God and we try and make things beautiful? So it means hidur for yourself. Don't glorify yourself in front of the king. Don't try and look great in front of the melech. Ki chvod cha batel. You may remember from our days of studying the Ramchal has a complicated, a nuanced idea about how much kavod we should have for ourselves and how much kavod we shouldn't have for ourselves. So this idea is kind of reflected here as well. How much kavod do you have? Well, you have kavod abrios. You should be treated respectfully by other people, but not before the king. How much kavod do you have when you stand in front of the king? Absolutely nothing. He has all the power. You have no kavod at all. And when you present yourself with hidur, meaning trying to boast yourself, whatever kavod you have is like, looks like nothing. But by trying to show off or trying to compete with the kavod of the king, you're just dismissing the kavod that he has. So you think that, I don't know, it's prestigious for the king to have friends like me, but what you're really saying is that the king doesn't have any kavod at all. And here's the key. Then the Malbim says, "Ukimosha kasav David vishichati lifnei Hashem," and I celebrated, but in a youthful way before Hashem. Shahaya mefazez umicharker kehedyo lifnei Hashem, because David conducted himself, David HaMelech, like a civilian before God. He didn't say, "Well, I'm the king, so I need to conduct myself in a more dignified manner than the civilians." Relative to Hashem, he conducted himself like a civilian. But Amar B'Yushalmi Parakamad Abrachos Orak Vodi Atayir Yikri Min Kami Yikri Tvari Yikri Lo Chashiv Klum Kami Yikri Tvari V'chein Al Tamod B'Makom Gedolim Rak Tamod B'Makom Shafal Mi Madrigasva Lo B'Makom Gavoa Mimen. So we're not going to get into the Yushalmi right now, but what the Malbim is saying is that the function here is to not overstate our own kavod in the presence of Hashem. What is the Malbim referring to here? It's pretty obvious because the psukim he's using are explicit, but the Malbim is referring to are the psukim in Shmuel Beis Perek Vav. So I just want to take a look at these psukim for 1 second to show you what he's referring to, and it's really very beautiful. When the Aron HaKodesh was being brought to Yerushalayim for the first time, so the Torah, the Navi tells us that the Jewish people in the time of David HaMelech celebrated the arrival of the Aron with a parade, right? And during that parade, Vayihi, this is Perek Vav, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayihi Ki Tzadu Nosei Aron Hashem Shisha Tzadim Veizbach Shor Umari. They had this whole process where they were traveling with the Aron and they stopped along the way and they brought karbanos. V'David Mecharker B'chol Oz L'fnei Hashem V'David Chagor Eifod. But David was wearing a linen ephod, linen robe, and he was dancing before God with all of his might. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael ma'alimis aron Hashem b'trua v'kol shofar. And David and the rest of the Jewish people brought the aron up with the sound of the shofar. V'haya aron Hashem ba. This is pasuk tezayin. V'haya aron Hashem ba ir David. And the aron was arriving into the capital. U'michal b'shol nishkafa b'yad achalon. David's wife Michal is looking down at him from the window, the daughter of the previous king. David And she saw the way that David was leaping and whirling before Hashem, before the Aron, and she was despised of it in her heart. In other words, he was acting like a child. He wasn't acting like the way the king is supposed to act, dancing like a fool in front of the Aron. He's the king of the Jewish people. He's supposed to act like nobility. And he's acting like anybody else. They bring the Aron in, and then they go through the whole party, and then you test, etc. And then what happens? So David goes to bless his family during this momentous occasion. Notice now that she is Michal, the daughter of the previous king. Right? Because obviously she knows the way a king is supposed to conduct himself. But Tomer, Manach Barayom Melech Yisrael. What a day of Kavod. Kavod again. You saw it in the Malbim. Now you see it here too. Oh, King of Israel, what honor there is today. Asher Nigla Hayom Le'inei Amahos Avadav Kihi Galos Niglos Achad Harekim. Exposing himself today in the sight of the slave girls, Amahos Avadav, as one of the riffraff might have exposed himself. So, you know, he comes home, he feels like he celebrated this great party and the Aron has finally arrived. And Michal says to him, "Look at you, exposing yourself like a fool in front of slaves." Vayomer David al Michal lifnei Hashem, asher bachar bi me avicha umikol beso. I was dancing before God because God chose me over your father and his house. Talk about a Shalom Bayis issue in this conversation. I will dance before the Lord. He has no shame in it. He did it on purpose. He believes it was the right thing. Dishonor myself even more. And be low in my own esteem, right, in my own eyes. And with those slave girls that you're criticizing me for dancing in front of, that you, I speak of, I will be honored. In other words, those are the people who will appreciate the modesty that I conducted myself with, that I even treat myself like anybody else in the presence of the Aron. And then the parak ends very tragically. Michal didn't have any children from that point forward, which of course, on the simple level, just symbolizes that it, from a practical matter, this was the end of the marriage of David and Michal. So what you see here is that even though, I mean, the Navi seems to be telling us, certainly with the way the parak ends, that David HaMelech believed his decision was the right one, and Michal's commitment to to sticking with what we might call the protocols of the monarchy was inappropriate. And why was that the case? Only because they were in the presence of the Aron. From the perspective of the civilian, you conduct yourself with kavod before the king. But when you're a religious king, which is what David HaMelech certainly was, he is just a civilian relative to the Aron HaShem. So she says, you're embarrassing yourself. You're disgracing yourself. You act with no self-esteem. And he says, I'm going to get more kavod from the people by showing respect to HaShem than by trying to hold on to my own dignity. So it's a very, of course, powerful parak in a lot of ways. But the Malbim is telling us that that's what Shlomo HaMelech is writing about here in Parak Kafei. Al tis hadar lefnei melech u'mekom gedilim al ta'amod, ki tov amar lecha aleihina miashpilcha lefnei nadiv asher u'inecha. Better to be told to be a modest person on the side than to try and present yourself with kavod in front of others. And for that reason, the Malbim teaches us that there's two levels of kavod going on here in this parak. And the right way, which we learn from David HaMelech, is that in the presence of God, all of our formalities fade away, recognizing what true kavod shamayim is all about. So let's hold here for today. Thank everybody for joining. As always, we'll keep marching.